that stunk. All the things that you've come to know with the Maple Leafs, like untimely non-saves from the new guy who looked like he was looking really solid in the first period. A third line that kind of has moments of they look threatening, but then they don't really do anything on the stat sheet. A power play that was listless at times and just seemed like they didn't really get with the program. Jake Muzzin looking slow. A fourth line that didn't really have an identity. I know it's one game, so whatever. I'm not trying to freak out here, but to me, the story of the game is just familiarity. That felt like every time that just felt like being a Leafs fan tonight. That's what that felt like.
What the hell was that, man? Like, could we swear on this show? Like, I mean, that was so, you know what that reminded me so much of? The Leafs versus Montreal in the playoffs, where you know one team is the superior team, and they're so desperate and pushing and driving that all of a sudden there's a rush chance the other way. The chances, obviously, the Leafs had more chances, but the rush chances were in Montreal's favor. You know, they would break back the other way. I don't even know where to start. I cannot believe the season is starting out with a game where they blew it to Montreal, then salvaged it to blow it again. I mean,
I made fun of their cornball fans for their cornball.
Oh. They deserved it. It was awful.
And all of them cried, and they're all crying, and the Leafs scored that goal. I'm like, good, let them cry. And now they get the upper hand. My mentions are going to be a tire fire all night, full of Habs fans just gloating in my face about their torch working. Listen, the Habs are supposed to be one of the worst franchises in the NHL right now. Like, they're supposed to be one of the worst teams in hockey. And that, to me, just stinks. You played down to your competition again. This has been a staple of the Toronto Maple Leafs over the last couple of seasons. And
didn't even get a point.
Yeah, I'm comforted by the fact that last year it felt like a 5-alarm fire out of the gate. Remember the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah.
What was it, 5-0, 6-0, 6-1? Who knows? But the Leafs started slow, and then they righted the ship, and they were just a solid regular season team. So, yes, I recognize it's one game, but, man, just for basically all the bad habits and all the bad feelings, and for you to say that that reminded you of the Montreal series, which for many Leaf fans, they would argue is the most painful moment of their fandom, that's just not a great way. That's just not a great way to start a season that didn't have a lot of buzz. At least now there's negative buzz.
Jake Muzzin was awful.
He was slow.
He looked really slow. He couldn't keep up. He turned pucks over. Like, you know, if he's Muzzin, he still does Muzzin-y things in the corners and winning battles and stuff. But him and Justin Hall, I mean, they broke that pair up last season for a reason. They were awful. Going back on puck retrievals, turning it over. I can't believe, you know, having them out there 3-3 in the final minute shouldn't be a problem. It was a problem. Matt Murray was awful for two periods. I mean, I'm sorry to come out of the gate so negative, but boy, that game warranted. I mean, awful. Matt Murray, you didn't even like the goal that didn't count, the Kirby Doc one. I don't know.
He got lucky with that save. Here's my, like, maybe we do start with first impressions and we start with Matt Murray. Because,
right.
Like I said, the familiarity, the Muzzin thing was all the way back. All the way there. And if you were a Leaf fan or a commentator that thought, hey, maybe you ask him to waive the no trade clause last season because you try to swing some kind of a real shape shifting move with your blue line, that first game was not very encouraging for you.
No.
He wasn't healthy during camp for the entirety of it. I just don't know what you're supposed to tell yourself as a Leaf fan after watching that performance. Again, This is the thing that sucks about rolling back a team, essentially, and having everybody back. You and I talked about this today on my podcast, right? How there's a real upside to familiarity as a group. You know where everyone's supposed to be. Continuity, right? In sports, continuity is a great thing. But continuity is usually a great thing that's attributed to great franchises. And it dawned on me watching this game that that's not who these guys are. And so familiarity to me can breed contempt. And
that was familiar
tonight, is just every little mistake that these guys make and a bad night like tonight, that for a normal team that's as talented as these guys are, a fan base just throws away. they're going to carry this differently. Like, you and I are going to carry this differently because we've been watching this same Leafs team now for this is going on 5 years. Yeah. And every fan is feeling this. And I can't help but think that the players are that capable of separating that past from a night like tonight. Yeah. And that those guys would feel a moment like tonight, and that kind of creeping. It's game one. I hate this. This feels so overreaction.
No, it's great. It's great. It's great.
But man, that was everything that you feared tonight.
Yeah.
I can't point to a positive other than Malgin banged in an empty net or so Kyle Dubas is fired up about that. But outside of that, like, what is the positive?
You know, I just feel like towards the end of last season, the Leafs kind of gained this thing where you're like, they remember they felt like they were emotionally mature, that they had grown, that they didn't have as many of these moments where you're like, what it felt like last year when the Leafs were really clicking was that they trusted that the game would come their way if they stuck with the plan. They didn't force it or get ahead of the play. And that's what I saw tonight, was not sticking with the plan, not saying, if you just say, make Montreal beat us, we're going to stay in our positions, be defensively sound, make Montreal beat us, Montreal's not beating you. If you just roll your four lines over the boards and stick to it, Montreal's not beating you. But I saw a team getting ahead of the play. We joked at one point during the game, first power play of the game, they're out there for 2 minutes, the first unit. Like, we're not grinding for one here, boys. You know, I just felt like even the Malgin breakaway he got, he's way ahead of the play and he gets a lucky bounce. It goes through. That was just typified to me of the guys being ahead of where they needed to be, too eager to go score, too eager to, you know, expose this weak Canadiens defense and not showing that emotional maturity of just the game will come to you. You're the better team. Didn't see it tonight.
Their coach probably agrees with you. We've talked in the past about Sheldon Keefe having to save his bullets because he's an emotional guy. And I can't wait to hear his post game tonight because he benched Michael Bunting.
He benched Bunt, who scored.
He benched a guy who scored, who's in a contract here in game one. Game one. He benched him in game one. A guy on the top line playing with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. He benched him in game one. It's pretty clear what the parameters of the season are. And
high boy, expectations.
Boy, I really did feel a little bit of apathy coming into the season among the fan base. I mentioned this over and over again, that there really did feel like a lack of buzz to this Leafs season that was very unfamiliar to me in my lifetime. Even when the Leafs have been bad, there's just buzz for weeks and weeks on end ahead of a season, during an entire offseason, for every single signing. This year just was not that. Like, did you see the video of the Leafs new players that the Twitter account put out where they're pronouncing their names? It's a very awkward video because they say their name. And then they go, it's pronounced. And you go, yeah, that's what.
You just said it. Yeah, yeah. We just did that.
Why would you say it different now?
Yeah. Yeah, my name's Justin Bourne, pronounced as just Dan Bourne.
Yeah, I hadn't had any conversations with friends or family members who love the Leafs about Kelly Yarncrock. Like, I didn't. Like, I just didn't have any Yarncrock conversations this offseason.
Oh, because look, it seemed like they signed solid guys. They were good. They got solid guys. And we're not here to say that they're not going to be solid, they're not good, whatever. But, boy. So, can we look at the goal? So this is one thing we have cool for you folks who are tuning into this live stream. We can actually look at goals, can we not?
Yeah, I think so. This is going to suck for the podcast people, but screw you right now.
Yeah, well, whatever. We're going to talk you through it.
The podcast people have done nothing for us yet, okay? Like, all we have is whoever's on this live stream with numbers we can't see. Could be just, like, our parents.
Thanks, Mom.
I have no idea who's actually watching this right now. But either way, yeah. What I really want to see is the play that got Bunting benched, which, so we're going to go first one here. This is, but this is the Leafs' first goal that they score. So this is going to be Bunting gets to the front of the net. Marner's going to give him one and he's going to feed it in.
Obviously, Mitch Marner, special player. Like, all Bunting has to do is get half a step separation on, is this Josh Anderson that's covering him there? Buncey finds it, shoots it in. That's great.
This is what I thought the whole night was going to be, by the way. I thought the first, like, what was this, like 10 minutes, it was a little slow. And the Leafs didn't have just, like, a ton of pressure. Montreal wasn't doing too much. Matt Murray was making a couple of saves on the power play. But I really thought that when this goal went in, that the game was going to just shift into a Toronto Maple Leafs beatdown. That Montreal rolled out their roster because they do the 45-minute pregame ceremony that sneaks up on you every year, right? You always forget that these guys are the most self-important franchise ever. They do this where they go, everyone is going to watch us celebrate the Montreal Canadiens for the next 2 hours, and then we're going to do the lame torch thing, and here you go. Here's a bunch of guys that are mostly going to be, like, not in the NHL a year from now.
Yeah.
Please watch them get introduced. I thought it was going to be a beatdown from that point forward. But what I really want to see is, can we jump ahead goals, David? Can we go to see the goals against the Leafs? Like, which one do you want to see first, Bourne? You want to see the first or the second?
You know, either one, I think, kind of typifies what I was talking about thinking offense, being on the wrong side of it, leading to rush chances against. You know, it just, I think we're going to get to do this. This is great. Yeah, so the blind throw in front for Marner there, right?
Yeah, this is the first one against.
Right. And you know what? This comes after, at the end of the first period, there's a rush. Same two guys, right? Suzuki to Caulfield, where they don't score. And you and I were both like, man, Murray was not great post-to-post on that. Like, the time laterally, not particularly quick. Not that, I mean, it's one game. I'm not saying Murray's not going to be great or whatever. But I don't think he moves particularly well laterally. Steve Valiquette said the same thing on our show.
I would like to make a first impression on...
This thing is a terrible play by Marner. Just a hope play.
This is just... Okay, these guys still think that they're playing the preseason split squad game, the way that pass goes across. That's just an ugly play. You would have thought that there would be a little bit more accountability. Nice finish, by the way, by Caulfield on that one.
Yeah, just a little bit patient. Unreal. Is this the next one there? Turnovers inside the zone again?
Yeah.
Can't quite see snap my little split screen action here, but yeah. So, Matt Murray, that to me is a huge concern going into the year. Is like, you don't trust that a guy who has a clean unscreen shot that he can catch it. That was what, in previous seasons watching Matt Murray, my concern was always he doesn't catch it.
Yeah.
And well, you played goal. Like, his glove position seems strange to me.
Okay, so let's watch this again, because this is the play that gets Bunting benched.
This is the
Maligan highlight. Right. Sorry, we're ahead of it. I thought that we were going to be looking at the other one again. Yeah.
So was it there? Was it just inside the blue line? Bunting makes a diving play to try to keep
it. He's dogging it back. I think that it's just the back check. He's just not skating very hard to get back.
Yeah.
And maybe he's gassed at the end of the shift, but I wonder if that's what it's for. Again, we'll need to hear what Sheldon Keefe has to say about it, but it's a pretty bold-ass statement to be making that, like, there's Marner. He's obviously tired. He's a little bit, see, Bunting?
Yeah. Controller disconnect on the way back?
Yeah. He's coasting. So I wonder if Sheldon Keefe saw that, saw the game get tied 2-2, said, hey, this is two times now off the rush that we've gotten beat. It's the same line that's been on the ice for both goals. You guys are supposed to absolutely hem in this young Canadiens team. Look at Sheldon right there. He's so pissed.
Great. You know what, though?
Yeah, freeze frame that Sheldon Keefe shot on that live stream. His face, knowing, like, he's got to be careful about what he says. Yeah, there's
no... You know what? Early, though, so this part here, I can't even see it in the screen. Anyway, that... I do like the idea that he's, you know, it's early in the season. It's a top line guy, and that's not going to be okay for us this year. We're not okay with that. Even if you score, you're on the top line. We are going to punish guys who aren't doing the things we want you to do. I mean, it didn't help him in the rest of the game. Bunting had a couple chances when he did get back in that spot, and I thought he was fine. But I guess that's the point Keefe is making, is that we're going to hold everyone to a high standard this year.
Yeah, so I'm trying to be calm because I'm very pissed off about that. Also, I have a Dodgers under bet that's already done. You know, the game ends and I'm like, what's happening with the Dodgers? At least it's 3-3 in the third inning. I'm great. What I was trying to say earlier, though, about those guys trying to compartmentalize the losses and being a little bit more mature, right? Hey, these guys are a little bit more mature. They'll be able to deal with the ebbs and flows of the season. I do think that there's a little bit of the fan base and the media and the city, everything that is tied a little bit into this, where that pressure that's on that group is going to be a fascinating component of this season. It's something that you and I didn't really talk about today, right? Because when we're discussing the whole thing about, hey, familiarity and how these guys might be able to mature more, There's also this element of, hey, we've all been together for a while and it's not working again. And if it doesn't work on a given night, that added pressure where Keith is saying, this is my big break in the NHL, my job's on the line. Kyle Dubas is watching this knowing that his job is on the line. That there's a couple of Leafs players that know that they could easily be thrown in trades. That there's guys that are here that, like Alex Kerfoot, who are free agents at the end of the year, knowing that they likely won't be back. That there are goaltenders on this team. Samsonov, who we haven't seen yet, is on a prove-it deal. Matt Murray.
You're already Team Samsonov.
What?
You're already Team Samsonov, huh?
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, let's just get – I worry a little bit about the pressure on this group at times. And they've had a lot of pressure on them for their entire careers, like the core specifically. But how have they responded to that pressure? Well, they've lost every single elimination game that they've had the opportunity of winning with this core. So at least history would suggest maybe they struggle with it at times. Okay, let's do first impressions of the new guys. And, okay. I will start with Matt Murray because you're right. I was pretty frustrated in the group text. He looked amazing in the preseason. And then you're reminded that
great first period
from the outside from a Montreal split squad and that it's a glorified scrimmage. He looked slow post to post. He just looked clunky and he got beat glove. Like Montreal was clearly going glove high on him. The book was out and the book worked. And so, yeah, the first period was nice and we can continue to couch it with, of course, you're not going to judge a guy based on the first start. And I remember Freddie Anderson's first start with the Maple Leafs was a nightmare and everybody wanted him out of town. Like this happens with goalies in this market. I talked to Ed Belfour today. He was recalling that his start to his Toronto Maple Leafs tenure was a nightmare and that it takes about a month before you really get your feet underneath you. There were just some troubling signs for a guy that didn't look very athletic in the net, looked very big, positionally sound for a lot of the night. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm the world's foremost expert, but yeah, he looked slow post to post. He looked unathletic at times and he got beat the same way on multiple goals. It's not a good first impression. You can't really say that. You can't say, I was impressed.
No, you know, there was the moment there where I was thinking about last season with the Leafs and how they had success despite Jack Campbell's struggles. And, you know, Murray gives up that second one to make it 2-2, the one that we played a bunch there. And that was the one that made me go, that's a deflating one when you're on the bench. You're just like, come on, like, you know, who catches that? Vasilevsky catches it, and Shesterkin, and Demko, and Markstrom, and we don't have one of those guys, and it's deflating. But, you know, then, you know, Tavares to Nylander, they get the goal, it's 3-3. I'm sitting there like you're sitting there going, okay, they're going to get a point in Montreal. They probably get two because they have better players when you go to the skills contests. You know, and it's going to be a thing where they win despite Murray. And you're not going to blame them for the last one, but you're allowed to save it. You're allowed to get saved. So, yeah, not a great debut. What are you, four goals? And I don't know what Montreal had, 24, 5, 6 shots. You know, I get some Sport Logic stats, which I'll make sure you're getting this season. After the game, slot shots on net at even strength. Leafs 16, Montreal 7. Scoring chances off the cycle. Leafs 3 or 8 to Montreal's 3. Scoring chances off the rush were actually 9-7 Toronto, so they actually did have an edge there. But still, the bulk of Montreal's chances came off the rush. Anyway.
That's the thing. The Leafs should have the bulk of the scoring chances. It's a Montreal Canadiens team that's plus 700 to finish with the worst record in the NHL this year.
Yeah.
That's like the Leafs' odds of winning the Cup. Vegas views these two teams as likely to one finish at the very top and one finish at the very bottom.
Right.
So for you to come out and play that way on the road to start a year, it's depressing. And so, yeah, just to stick with the Murray thing, it's a first impressions. That's the name of this like little mini segment. And
yep.
So, yeah, that's all we have to work off of is these first impressions. I would be given it's not a good one for Matt Murray. He had a real opportunity. There was some buzz around him. You know, Kipper just wrote that article that they should have just given him the net from the get-go. Like everyone was talking about how he's a Stanley Cup champion. He's made the tweaks. He looked stiff. He looked slow. He let in a ton of goals against a rival. It's not a comfortable way to start. You want to go to your next first impression?
Sure. Do you want to go through the guys or you just want me to give you?
I'll go through the next guy. What did you think of Kelly Yarncroc?
Did he play?
Yeah. I mean, he looked like a Kerfoot to me. He had that one real nice chance in front. But again, this is the same thing for me with the third line is that the familiarity. That was the top story of the game to me. Third line had moments where I went, oh, these guys have some speed, you know, like they're fast.
I thought Engvall was good. I saw people pooping on him on Twitter. I thought he was fine. Made some nice plays. Speed, big.
They were fine. They had some nice zone entries. They made a couple of plays. What did they not do?
Kerfy didn't score on a penalty shot.
Yeah.
Did you ever think he was going to?
No. I really didn't. I got to say that if it almost felt like it was the reverse order. You know, they went, we're going to start these penalty shots with the last guy. We're going to work up after the best guy. Who's coming over the boards? Might have been between Obel and...
Kampf would probably go first in that order.
Yarncroc's the new guy that I'm most familiar with. I've always sort of liked him. I think
no joke. I only noticed him being ahead of the play on the one that Monahan puts in to make it 3-2.
Yeah. So I would say that first impression was he just, again, seemed like a very familiar player. Malgin.
No. I know. I know. Like, I know he scored. And Craig Simpson was great. Craig Simpson was like, and he put, you know, he's able to put in the puck from, you know, he put it in. But, you know, he got buried in the first period. You know, I thought he made a couple of forced plays on the power play where he turned the puck over. Yep. He's a talented player. You know, I don't know. There's nothing different about him. I've never once watched him play and been like, I didn't know he could do that. Like, I know he's skilled. I saw the play he made against Detroit, and I was like, hey, talented guy. Very talented guy.
Yeah, he's obviously talented because he's 5 foot, what, 7? Eight?
And in the NHL, he's absurdly talented.
So, of course he's talented. Of course he's going to know the right places to be on the ice. I mean, he better because he got to this level based on that. But, yeah, there's just – he's tiny. Like, he's a tiny little guy. He's got to have – he's got to have, I think, even a higher notch of skill. There's just a couple of moments where you can see how easily he can get eliminated from plays by even just like the threat of physicality or a little bit of physicality. Anyways, that's like, you know, he's in the right place at the right time. Good for him. He gets the goal. But yeah, I can't really say that I was overly impressed by him or it blew away. I still wish that they would have seen Nick Robertson, who we'll close on today because we didn't have a chance to talk about him.
I do want to say that I think Malgin is an NHLer. I just don't know that he's an NHLer on a team with cup aspirations.
On a team that is asking him to play on the second line right now.
Right.
With John Tavares and William Nylander. Like, it was not...
I wonder if...
That's not where he belongs. Yeah. It'd be nice to... Guess what? He probably will have or should have a similar path of... I'm blanking on the guy's name that got picked up by the Sharks last year off a waiver.
Barabanov.
Yeah, Barabanov.
100%.
Hey,
that's who I see too. Barabanov.
Go to a bad team, light,
be a
get some
good
stats,
player, 40 points. Yep.
This should probably not be the place. Kubel.
Yep. Okay. Can I give you another just overall one, or do you want to try to go through players first? Let's do players first.
Let's do players first, and then give me the overall one.
Kubel. Every time I watched him, I just feel a little frustrated. You know, he's not good, and I think he's a great fourth line player for the Leafs to have. But I don't know, like he doesn't always make the right decision with the puck. He looks like a good fourth line type guy to me. I don't know. As first impressions go, I wouldn't say I was like I'm gonna love watching this guy. But
yeah,
you?
Well. I actually can just lump he and Zach Aston-Reese in the same, like, we don't need to waste more time.
That's hyphenism.
This is. I'm hyphening the guy with the hyphen squads. They're getting hyphened together, all right? Zach Aston-Reese Kubel, all right?
Aston-Reese Kubel. Yeah.
They clearly had the mandate of throw the body around, and they did that. They threw a bunch of hits, and there was nothing else. End of list. And I think that's what you're going to expect from them. And hopefully that has an impact for the Leafs at some point this season. I hope it doesn't hurt David Kampf. Because one of the cool things about last year was that Kampf got some opportunities to play with some skilled guys. And he actually came up with some big moments. Mm-hmm. And he was always a defensive zone guy that everything that he gave you on the offensive end was a plus. But... it felt like there was always a little bit of a push from his line that was possible. And tonight that didn't feel that way to me. And so you know, it's something to monitor. I was
a couple good shifts. They had a couple of D zone shifts. One time they drew a penalty. They did some good things. I liked the fourth line.
No, they did good things. I guess my point is more that I'm very high on Kampf and I hope that those guys are good enough to play with them. And I'm less sure about how long these line combinations are going to last than I felt at the very beginning of or at the end of training camp, where when I looked at them on paper, I said, yep, this is the right combination. They've got it down.
Fascinated right out of the gates that they play again tomorrow, back at home against a Washington team that just got their pants pulled down by Boston.
Yep.
Samsonov's going to net.
Yep.
I mean, it's immediately fascinating for me. You know, you and I always do this. We always talk around the fringes because we just assume the core is the core and they're not going anywhere and we don't talk about them a lot. Do you have any impressions of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares?
I'm going to get killed for this, but it just because he made the game time goal to have it at the end. Like, but yeah, I wondered if he was going to have he being Nylander was going to take some of the stuff that we saw while he was playing from Sweden last summer and apply it to this year. And there was a little bit of talk around camp that he was playing a little bit more physical, that he and Marner had both put on a little weight, right? And Marner, it's whatever, right? To me, him putting on weight is...
It's like Patrick Kane. No one touches Marner. He doesn't hit anybody. He's amazing without contact. He doesn't need to be strong.
Bingo. So for me, that's more of a psychological thing for him where I'm going, good. Well, maybe the practical side is that when he does get touched, that the dings don't hurt him as much or whatever. Sure. I don't know what it is. But it's not like I need Mitch Marner to bulk up in the offseason. Apparently, he added 10 pounds. Word was that Nylander added a few as well and that he was feeling strong and we saw what he did with Sweden. And yeah, I'm very optimistic about him trying to apply some of that to the NHL because it's just, he's so incredibly strong. And if he ever just wanted to play with that level of intensity, it would work. It would really work as with him being a bit more of a physical guy. And there was just, yeah, I don't know if it's confirmation bias. I don't know what it was, but there was just a few times where it's just plays that you go, what was that? And he's the what was that play guy.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Willie tries to make a lot of cute little plays that other people can't make. And so you are okay with mistakes because he'll make some that other people can't. But he didn't work for him tonight. Timing was off. I know he scored. Got it. Saw that. Great. Great play. Elite player. But I thought he was not William Nylander tonight, you know. So, you know what I love about what we're doing right now? Lou Lamoriello, when I was with the Leafs organization, I was with the Marlies. But the Leafs staff would come in after the game, and they weren't allowed to talk to each other, Babcock and crew, and they had to rate every player 1 to 5. I've told you this before. Immediate first impressions. What did you think of that player? They rate 1 to 5, and they justify why they thought that about a guy. And then the next day, you go through the video, and you go, you know, I watched it back. He actually wasn't that bad, or he was really good. But they wanted just – Lou wanted their initial thoughts right after the game was, well, it was fresh. Like, Nylander, for me, that game, that's a 2. You know, my first – you know, I just – he's got more to give. Matthews wasn't particularly – Marner was good. Tavares fine.
Tavares was fine.
They didn't steal the game for them. They're supposed to be the difference-making guys. They were not a great debut.
What did you think of the power play?
Not overly passionate take on that. You got a thought?
Not really. I just thought that it's pretty, like, they tried to take away Matthews, and it worked at times, I guess, but...
Well, Matthews ripped the one off the inside of the post. That was a difference maker for the game.
No, he's still going to be able to get free. They were 0 for 4. I didn't really feel like it was threatening.
Yeah, late in the game, in the third there, there was some really sloppy play, for sure. I'm curious to see, is there anyone you liked tonight? And I don't mean that we're not being like randomly negative. We're going to be positive when they're good. They're bad.
Was there anyone I liked tonight? Frankly, not really. that was a really bad team loss, right?
Yeah.
This is one where they can all go around the room and go, there's no guy that you can hang your head around and say sorry to. Like, the goalie was bad. The blue line was bad. I thought Rasmus Sandin had a particularly bad night.
Yes. That's what I wanted to get to for first impressions. The D was worrisome because Giordano took one penalty, maybe could have had 2 or 3. He kind of got beat a few times. Muzzin looked slow. Sandin was bad. Hall wasn't great on retrievals. Brody and Riley were fine. Liked them.
Brody and
Liked
Riley
them.
Were fine. But I was going to tell you, like, when I said, when you asked me who did you like tonight, I was like, well, the invisible man, TJ Brody, was invisible for most of it, which means
fine.
Good, you know?
Yep.
And Morgan Riley made a brilliant pass in that game, and so he deserves some, yeah, love for that. I guess if we're going to highlight anybody, it's those two guys. Good for them. It was a bit of a reminder to me with watching Muzzin and Gio that it's going to be, like, it's going to be tough to get those guys to the finish line looking good. Like, that, there's a reason why this team also has Jordy Benn. There's a reason why they also have Victor Mete. There's a reason why they have Timothy Liljegren and that they didn't make a trade on the blue line. They didn't reshuffle anybody. They're going to need depth this year.
Immediately, I'm sitting here thinking, who's going in tomorrow? Because you can't go back. You know, surely they'll mix something up for tomorrow. I actually think they're going to react to the outcome tonight. Like, I think Sheldon is not going to say, well, let's just take another crack at this tomorrow. I think you'll see different lines. I don't know about bodies, if they can with a cap.
Maybe different lines. And, yeah, Samsonov's going to be in net. I don't know what you do with the blue line, though, because Jordy Benn's hurt.
Like, Dahlstrom's hurt, Liljegren's hurt.
Victor Mete come in here and Liljegren's hurt. So you're stuck with this group. And I don't think that you
need
those pairings, right?
I don't know about that, but I think it is good that they get another game, that decor in particular. I could see them mixing up the pairings, though. I'm telling you, Muzzin and Hall, I don't know what it is. But they remember how good they were? They were like the shutdown pair for this team 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know what happened is one guy got old and he was the guy that made everyone around him better. Man, right. Muzzin's so good. You put anyone around him during his prime and they were going to look a lot better. And this is the thing about having that steady. Listen, Leaf fans should know this better than anybody because, like, I'm not trying to trash the guy, but let's just say a certain defenseman got a big contract here because he played next to Markov. And then came here and didn't play with Andre Markov, the Montreal Canadiens, and all of a sudden didn't look so great. All of a sudden the nicknames for him weren't so cute. Just that's the way the...
Partners help.
Yeah, so partners help. No other first impressions, nobody else that we're missing, right?
Unless you think Sheldon did anything that he could have been different, you know, it's too early.
I don't know what Sheldon was supposed to do. Like,
no.
I will say, if you had to design the most painful way to lose the first game of the season, you have the team lead for a bit, then you have Montreal steal it late, and then they actually salvage the game and come back before they lose it again, late, again.
Especially again. Since all I was thinking, too, was that's what these guys always need, you know? They always need that, it's the darkest before the dawn thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're in the gutter, everyone's written them off. Oh, they do a thing, everyone's back in.
Is it offside? They get, it's onside. All right, they're at least going to get a point out of here.
By the way, that's to me, I'm not even being a homer here. That's just the most, that's the onside. That's so against the spirit of the rule that would ever even be considered that they took a timeout, and I feared that they were going to do it, but no.
I also hate... Like, wasn't the idea with the coaches challenge, like, we're going to go line up and drop the puck. Tell us before we get there or it's too late. Now they're
cooking, my friend. That was home cooking.
Dragging the feet.
It's fine to get a little home cooking, but that's what that was. You cannot tell me that Sheldon Keefe would have gotten the same amount of time in Montreal to make that same call. Like, there's just no way.
You're right.
Let me look through my notes, make sure there's
no. I'm just doing the same thing.
I don't
88 know. Down arrow, 38 down arrow.
I mean, I have a lot of stuff on the opening ceremony, but now I don't really feel like clowning on Habs fans.
Yeah.
I have like five jokes I wrote down, but I'm going to leave those. Like, those are just going to be on the cutting room floor. I will say
Bunting got a penalty for being Bunting. That wouldn't have happened last year. That was a reputation call, I thought.
I thought the same thing. That was absolutely a reputation call. Okay. So I guess we'll do two last things. I want to ask you about Nick Robertson and the step that you've seen him take. And, I don't know. Malgin scored again tonight. And he drew the penalty. So he's obviously staying in the lineup. Like, it's not a situation where, you're throwing him on waivers. He's going to end up having a little bit of wiggle room here. There's cap implications. It's not easy. But the only downside to having Tavares in that game and Engvall was that I was excited to see Nick Robertson. I thought that he earned a spot in camp.
For sure. I agree.
What did you see different from him in this offseason and in camp that has led you to believe that he has taken a step? Because I would say that both you and I last year when he got his it wasn't a showcase. It wasn't a showcase, okay? That's not how it works. His non-showcase was not exactly showcasey.
I'll tell you exactly what's different this year for me is that last year, one of the things I said many times is I didn't think he could create his own shot. I thought if you found him, he had that great shot and he could shoot it in the net, but I didn't think he could create one himself. And in the preseason, I saw him take pucks out of corners, you know, like create separation from people and just be able to put himself in a position without line mates doing it for him. And that's the difference. To me, it's like, I'm not saying he's Cole Caulfield, but he's that type of guy where when he's dynamic at that size, he creates a couple looks, he's going to shoot some in. I think he's going to be able to do that some for them this year. I want to see him too. I would have liked to see him tonight.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have an impact for this team at some point this year. And that he is going to show that little bit of progress. Are we allowed to swear on this show, by the way?
We're going to have to find that out because I sure would have liked to right out of the gates about that one.
Yeah. Graham.
I'm going to guess no.
Graham or David, turn on your mic for 1 second. Say that we can do it. Hello.
No.
Wow. Because I need to ask you one last question before we go, but it doesn't, the actual term is a swear. I'm just going to say it. Is there a strength and conditioning coach on the planet? They're doing the introductions and they flash around to the strength and conditioning coaches. Is there a single strength and conditioning coach on the planet over 5'8"? Or are they all just the same brick shit house, like of a man who is just 5'7" or 5'8" and just absolutely crushes the workroom?
Yeah, Matt Nichols, a tall guy. Yeah, you know that, but they're no. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of guys who are just like just cubes.
Cubes. Yeah, just a cube. I was dying. I'm like, it's all about the cubes, man. You see those cubes walking around and you're like, strength and conditioning coach? They're like, yeah, what did you think? Like, yeah. How did you know? I'm like, because you're a cube. Because you're just cubing around. What's that game for kids? I don't know. I'm too old now.
Minecraft.
I was like, Roblox? Yeah. No, I was like, that's not the one. Someone's furious.
Minecraft.
Right now. Anyways, this is Leafs Talk. It's going to be on after everything.
By the way, you had a better name for the show and we should probably use it.
Yeah, I want to call it Best Buds. Leafs Talk with JD or Bunk Born and Sam, because Sammy will be on tomorrow night. I wish Sam would have just dialed in and been on with us.
Tonight should have been Sam because you guys were at it in the group chat.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Sam. He stakes himself to these claims early on with no evidence. Like, this happens all the time with him. And he takes hard line positions. And then when they start to go against him, it's the same formula over and over. I'll tell him this tomorrow. I'm not afraid of the guy. He'll take a position and he'll say, I like this player. And you'll go, why? And he goes, I just do. And it's based on nothing.
That's great. I respect
it's based
that.
On nothing. And then you have to whittle him down. And you have to be like, you still like this player? You still like this player? And then eventually he'll just sell all of his stock.
This is kind of me on Mulligan. It's like he's played really well and he scored again. And, well, didn't play really well tonight. But, you know, I definitely feel like there's people going, why don't you like him? It's like, I just don't, okay?
I don't care. Listen, if you're crying because we weren't positive about the Maple Leafs tonight, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, no, this is not going to be your show.
Tonight was a stink fest. They played down to their competition, and they lost to their rival.
32nd place team from last year.
And you know what, too? It's like the playing down to the competition thing should – sure, that can happen on
games. We played a Keith quote about it today because it's a trend.
Yeah. And it can happen on game 56, the regular season. You know, if they're here – and they're playing a middling, like, Nashville Predators team, and they don't give their best effort on the road after the third game of a road trip, 3 games in 4 nights. I'm not going to care. This is the season opener in the hockey mecca, in the most important building in hockey. And to the team that gave you guys, that core, the biggest embarrassment of your careers, and you show up and you're like, meh.
we'll make playoffs. Yeah.
Care. Just give a little bit of a shit, please, God.
Bet.
Anyway,
we did get a green light, just no F-bombs. So,
what?
Just no F-bombs. I got the swearing update.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's say all the swears that we and test them out and see which ones they believe. No, that'll be next time with Sammy and I. Anyway, yeah, just give a shit. That's all I want to see. Just give a shit. All right. It's opening night. Just do it, please, for the love of God. Anyway, this is Leafs Talk. Subscribe to it. Review it. If you get it, you can get it on Apple, you can get it on iTunes. We'll tweet out the link when this thing is done. So I don't even know why I'm saying that, because if you're watching it to this point, you're like, yeah, I watched.
Yeah, I'm pot committed, man.
I did it already. I'm here. Anyway, we're going to stream on YouTube. Thanks to Graham Campbell and David Siss. They were very patient with us today trying to figure out all the stuff. I imagine they didn't think this was going to be a 45-minute show either, that they probably have loved ones they want to get home to. We're already home. They're at the studio, so thanks, guys.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And, yeah, Sammy and I will see you tomorrow night. Peace out.
Thanks, everyone.